Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, or good morning, or whenever you're listening to this. Thank you for listening. And we're going to be talking about today the power of God, the salvation, and I want to define this power. And as a episode info, I have some information on there. I'm going to go over some passages of scripture pertaining to that and just discuss it a little bit. If you'd like to get in touch with me and make your own comment about what I'm explaining or add to it, I'd appreciate it. You can get in touch with me by my email, which is wsm217@gmail.com, or through the Blog Talk Radio, or through Facebook. And if you'd like to call in when I'm having the live discussion, the phone number is 515-602-9634. So let's go ahead and I'm going to pray and then we'll discuss this. Father, we want to thank you for your grace and allowing us to be saved and allowing us to have the opportunity to share the word of God with those that will listen. And I pray all for all those that are going to listen or listening that, Lord, they'll benefit from it and be able to add to it, and it would encourage them in their faith and with you, and they'll walk with you. I thank you for providing, Lord Jesus, this salvation free. And, of course, it's got to be free because there's no man that could perform the salvation but you. And we thank you so much for that, Lord. And I pray for our country. I pray that we'd be able to live in peace, lifting up our hands to Holy God in praise and prayer and expressing our right, especially in this country, of sharing the gospel, telling others about the gospel, and just praising you on a daily, everyday way. You know what everybody needs. And I ask, Father, that that you would provide that through me, use me by the power of the Holy Spirit to communicate that message to those that listen. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, let's see. Let's go ahead and get started. I want to discuss the power of God in, as is explained in the scriptures using this word. It's in Romans 1:16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Power of God is the word that is used, the Greek word is dunamis. I have the Greek spelling of it, then I have the English spelling of it on the information. And in the English is spelled D-U-N-A-M-I-S. It's used 120 times in the New Testament, and it is translated into the English in different ways. And we went over some of those last time, and I want to go over one this time that we touched on last time. And it's translated into the, from the Greek into the English as virtue. And, of course, we're going to go into this, what also what virtue is, too. So let's go ahead and do it. I have a definition down there by a man by the name of Thayer, and he defines it as strength, power, ability. The inherent power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. Now, I want you to go with me to, go with me to Mark chapter 5, verse 28. Excuse me. But sinuses, allergies, it's just part of the game down here in Louisiana. So you can't have it all, you know. Okay. In Mark chapter 5, verse 28, we have, beginning there, it says, well, let's go back a little bit before that. Verse 25. Now Jesus is coming. Let's just go back a little bit further. Verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, who gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Now, I want to bring out one thing here. I don't want to get sidetracked, but I want you to see the faith that this man had in Jesus. He was a ruler of the synagogue, but the urgency of his prayer, his request, he says, I pray thee. It says he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lie at that point, explain, and gives distinction. My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. So he's telling Jesus, if you come do this, I know she'll live. It's called faith. That's called a prayer. That's called a supplication. Philippians says, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication make your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Well, here's an example of it. The prayer here, and what I want you to notice is it's called a supplication. It's called a desperate prayer. And I want you to see how distinct he is, the synagogue ruler, in his request and his definite experience of definitely knowing it's going to be answered. And so he fell at his feet. Now look at verse Mark 5:23. All right, okay, we went over that. His request. He fell at his feet. His request was distinct. His supplication was distinct. And they're very descriptive of what he wanted. Again, by prayer and supplication, make your request be made known unto God. He's requesting. And in that requesting, he is being definite in his request and very distinct. And that's what's needed in prayer. You just can't, oh, Lord, pray, you know, in a general way. You got to be exact in what you want Jesus to do. So let's look at verse 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now, thronging means they were handling him. They were touching him. they were all over him, yelling at him, screaming at him, talking to him, I guess I should say. Excuse me. And let's see, pressing on him. They're on all sides of him. He's not just walking with bodyguards all around. They're touching him. He's in the crowd. And there's something else that I think that's interesting here. Jesus was not some little 90-pound weakling or some sissy-looking man, and he wasn't confused about what sex he was. Jesus, he was a carpenter, and carpenters use their hands. And carpenters, not just their hands, their arms, their whole bodies, they had to take a tree. They didn't have all kind of machinery. You know, he didn't get his drills and his drill presses and all of that stuff out. He was very built. He didn't have soft hands and all this other. He was a rough man. He was a well-built man. And so when they're thronging him, you know, he can handle it. He can handle it no matter what his size were. But this little, and I don't think he had long hair, but this picture they have of him, long, droopy hair, and it looks like he's amassing it. He's about ready to pass out because he's so skinny. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. But anyhow, they thronged him, okay? Verse 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, okay? She, whatever the issue was, some say it was a menstrual, whatever. If it was, if she was weak. She wasn't that healthy. It says that he had that blood for 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians. And I'm sure as many of you that will listen to this will agree that you go to a physician and they do their try their best or whatever, and their best isn't good enough. I've experienced that a little bit with the surgery. I don't know. It wasn't good. The results was not good. And I had to go to another surgeon, and he did it right. But I had to go through a lot of pain. So it's nothing like this woman, 12 years, but the pain and misery that I went through for almost a year was because of a physician. Okay, verse 26, and had suffered many things from physicians and had spent all that she had. She was broke. She was broke. And that's when the physician would say, look, you know, if your health insurance don't cover it anymore, so I can't help you. I remember one client that unfortunately her parents told me this because the client committed suicide. She was going to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist said, hey, I can't help you anymore. She was strung out on drugs. I can't, your insurance is run out. I suggest you go to AA meetings and go through the 12-step program. Wouldn't cost her nothing for that. And unfortunately, it didn't help her. So Jesus could have helped her a lot more. And Jesus helped this woman. Verse 27, it says there, and she spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind. So she was part of the throng and touched his garments. Here's again, verse 28, faith. For she said, now, she didn't. She said this out loud, okay? Now, a lot of people saying a lot of things. A lot of people bumping into Jesus and all of this, a lot of people, a lot of commotion. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, she had been following Jesus. She heard about Jesus. She heard what this other leader of the synagogue said, if you would come, she would be healed. Well, this woman's saying, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. That was how much her faith was and how specific her prayer was to God, to Jesus. Verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. Hallelujah. And she felt it in her body. I guess you would too. That she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now, what did that woman say? If I could touch his garment. And he turned him in the press, immediately knowing, verse 30, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. And that's what we're looking at, the word virtue here. And it's that's the same word as dunamis. Dunamis, translated into the English as virtue. So the power of God to save our soul, the power that's in the gospel to save our soul is in the same power that healed this woman of her issue. It's the same power. And they call it virtue. Now let's go to virtue and see what that means. Virtue. The radical sense is strength, from straining, stretching, extending. Strength, that substance or quality of physical bodies by which they act and produce effects on other bodies. It, in this literal and proper sense, we speak of virtue or virtues of plants and medicine, etc. Okay? Now, going a little bit further down, moral goodness, the practice of moral duties and abstaining from vice, or a conformity of life and conversation to the moral law. In this sense, virtue may be, and many instances must be, distinguished from religion, practice of moral duties merely from motive of convenience or from compulsion or from regard or reputation. Is virtue as distinct from religion? The practice of moral duties from sincere love. Okay? So this is a moral excellence that Jesus contained. His existence, it was his ability healed this woman. His moral excellence, his sinless excellence, his sinless life, his sinless blood. His blood was perfect. It was the highest virtue that one could have. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. And so the quality of life that you have is in the quality of your blood that you have. And Jesus had moral excellence, sinless excellence in his blood. So that when a request was made, a spiritual request was made, he could feel that moral excellence go out of him and into this woman and heal her. By her faith, this was done. That's the power of Jesus. That's the power of God. And that's what Jesus did his whole time here in the flesh, taking on flesh, taking on a body. But his body was like no other body. he had the blood of God in his body. He had it, and he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, again, God in the Spirit, was perfect. There was no sin. It was morally excellent. And so was Jesus, morally excellent. John the Baptist, in John, said in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, he says, when he saw Jesus, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Why? Because he knew Jesus. They were cousins. They were 6 months apart in age. He hung out with Jesus. I hung out with some cousins of mine. I know what, you're around them a lot. You know them a lot better. And sometimes you don't want to know. But when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world," the reason he said that, because Jesus had come and wanted to be baptized of him, and he said, "No, I need to be John the Baptist, and no, I need to be baptized of you." They knew each other. John the Baptist knew the moral excellence of Jesus Christ from when he was a little kid. Now, they're about 30 years old now. He knew the moral character of Jesus. Remember when he was 12 years old, the Bible tells us he was discussing the word of God with the Pharisees and Sadducees and the temple rulers. So this is the virtue that went out of Jesus. This is the sinless perfection in the flesh. And how? By this woman saying this. She said it. I believe it was, she screamed it or she yelled it or she just said it. Not that everybody could hear, but it was probably was heard by some folks. Look at verse 31 in Mark chapter 5. "And his disciples said unto him," Jesus said, "Who touched me, my clothes?" "And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth." Verse 34 of Mark 5. "And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Had made thee whole. What was her faith? She articulated it, okay? She said it. Remember, in verse chapter 5, Mark 5, 28, verse 28, she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." She defined her faith. She said her prayer and requested it in exact terms, distinct terms, definite terms. That's the way we're to pray and be distinctive about it, be down to the nitty-gritty, the nuts and bolts and fiber and everything else that you can say about it, so that God knows how to respond to your prayer and your requests. Spend a little time praying. And I want you to say, I want to say something else. Say it. Speak it out loud. Just don't think it. Say it out loud so you can hear it. Of course, God's heard it. The devil can hear it. The angels will hear it. And it's just a proclamation of your faith by saying it out loud. And there were other people that heard it. Other people were heard it. It's a busy place. Okay, so let's go back to our info for this. And this is what the power of God is. And this is a good example of it. Again, we go back to Thayer's definition. He says strength, power, ability. Inherent power. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. And this is the highest virtue. We just read where they're using the word virtue, the moral excellence, to perform this thing. So God was not some hippie. He never committed a sin. But you and I have the same power within us, the Holy Spirit. And as Hal Lindsey said, explaining the miracle of the water, and the water put into the water pots and turned into wine, and he explained that any old vessel will do. That's the way he said it. Any old dirt vessel will do. You just have to be clean and available. That's how we are. And part of that cleanliness is moral excellence. You'll see it over and over. Peter talks about it. Paul talks about virtue, moral excellence. Gives you spiritual strength so that God can use you to communicate the gospel, to do his will no matter where and when and what. How educated you are, how not educated you are, it doesn't matter. Let's look at moral power and excellence of soul. We see in Thayer's definition. Power for performing miracles. Moral, the power and influence which belongs to riches and wealth. Power and resources arising from numbers. This is what the definition of dunamis is by Thayer. Again, it's used 120 times in the scriptures. So that's all we got today. Power of God, that power is available to us. Of course, Jesus was God in the flesh. His blood is different than ours. We have a sinful blood. We were born by a sinful man. His seed was sinful. Our blood had DNA. It's called iniquity. It had DNA, our propensity to sins in the blood. Science proves that today. But by the quote-unquote blood transfusion, by us living a holy life and moral life, we too can have the strength, the moral, we can have the virtue and live a prosperous, exciting, fulfilling life. Again, God bless you. If you want to communicate with me, wsm217@gmail.com. And I'll be glad to email you back. Please give me a phone number and I'll call you. But God bless you. Remember, it's about faith. Be specific in your prayer requests and speak them out loud. You don't have to have a crowd to do it. Just speak it out loud and be more distinct in the request. And God will answer you and give you peace about what your request is. God bless you.